Well, guys, the Defenders, we made it through Binge-a-thon. Oh, my God, we're going to break down the last two episodes. So much to talk about. We're going to talk about the 18 endings that got in, everything that went down in the pit, Dragon Bones. There's so much to talk about on the final Defenders Season 1 AfterBuzz TV After Show.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hey guys, welcome back to AfterBuzz TV's Defenders After Show. Oh my God. We have a lot to break down for you tonight. As I said, we're going to get into every bit of these two episodes that closed out the eight episode. It felt like a short run. We're going to finish it out today. I'm your host, Zach Wilson. Where am I looking?
You're good.
You can find me on social media, that Zach Wilson. If you're listening to this, I am in I dragged my Daredevil Season 1 cosplay out of the closet, and no, I cannot see anything.
No, oh, nothing, guys.
Nope. Gotta stay true to character.
I'm doing stuff in front of his face.
I can't tell. That's really frightening.
It is.
But let me introduce my fantastic panel that's all back. Amy Cassandra is here.
Hi. Hi, everyone. Hello.
Throwing my sticks down.
Well, you would not be a defender.
You guys can find me on Twitter and Instagram at AmyCassandra_TV. I'm still dressed as Elektra / Black Sky, but I decided to open up.
So we're going to have to fight, is what.
Pretty
what
much.
Saying.
Yes.
That's the sound effects that I'm giving us.
But we're going to fight because I like you, because okay. I want you to be okay.
Okay, thank you.
Don't be evil.
Well, can't make any promises.
Candace Cruz is here.
I was just waiting for that to finish. It was great. I was going to let it keep going. Mm-hmm. Hey, guys. My name is Candace Cruz, and you can find me on all of my social media at Candace R. Cruz.
Hey, guys. Nate Miller again. You can find me on all social media at Dog Like Nate. Yeah, that's it. That's the end.
Cool. Well, let's get started breaking all this stuff down. That was first reactions, first thoughts. What did you guys think of the finale to The Defenders?
So much happening. Like, yeah. I never thought it was just kept going. Yeah. And going. I was like, oh, it's over. Oh, no, it's not over. Oh, it's over. Oh, it's not over. But I loved the last shot was great. Mm-hmm. I loved that. Are we talking about the fight sequence or are we just talking the whole thing?
I just want the whole two episodes. Like, just overall, what did you guys like the way that the show wrapped up? Are you satisfied? Are you not satisfied?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there were a lot of holes missing here and there, but overall, I was very pleased with it. There were certain, like, lines that I was like, oh, that didn't hit, or oh, there was a couple of punches that I was like, eh, it doesn't seem really realistic, but all in all, I still was very pleased with the ending.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, you mentioned in the open, but there were too many endings. So sometimes it's nicer to just give us a little bit, leave us wanting more. But it was just a little bit too much. But it was nice to see everyone working together. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, everyone. Colleen was involved. Misty was involved. Claire. So that was great to see. And... yeah, I mean, the last shot was fantastic because it gave us hope for the future.
What about you, Nate? What did you think?
It was good. I enjoyed it. I think the action sequences in the last two episodes especially were a lot better than what we've seen for the rest of the series. But there were also a few scenes that I think were really overly edited and lost a lot of the momentum in the fight scenes. But there was definitely a change, which was the most exciting part, in like the second half of the last episode when you see them kind of really start fighting together, like, you know, the Defenders, and that made everything worth it, in my opinion. It was just really satisfying to watch them work together.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I thought that these episodes were a fitting finale to what we built over the first six. It all connected. I think the reveals of like what's in the hole. I was close. I was kind of close.
Yeah.
Sure.
We'll give it to you.
We'll get into that later, but like I think it got the characters to a good point by the end of it. Everyone is not by no means did anyone like flatline exactly where they were when they started, and I think we saw growth from all the characters over the course of the season, at minimum in their relationship with other people.
Mm-hmm.
The action sequences were fun, like it was. And we got emotionality. We got the sense that they bonded, which was really good.
I mean, the only thing I have to argue is I think we did get, if maybe not full character arcs, at least like the beginnings of arcs. With the exception of Danny, I feel like we got a little bit of like people telling him to grow up. And I don't think we got much of a resolution of him being like, oh, okay, I need to grow up. I'm hoping that maybe with like with the last shot, him taking over for the time being as the watcher of the city, he'll do some growing up in that time, and maybe the lessons he's learned, he'll start to reflect on them.
Yeah,
but I don't feel like it was resolved within the show, so I'm a little frustrated that he's still, in my eyes, you know, kid Danny.
Yeah, well, and also, I mean, Matt was, well, Daredevil at the time, told him, like, he whispered in his ear, you know, just protect my city.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like that gave Danny the idea of, yeah, he told me. So maybe that will help him
right
out.
That's what I'm thinking.
Which he was also meditating on at the end. He kind of even mentioned, like, his elders had told him to reflect on every pain and every, I can't remember the exact line, but any bad thing that happens to you, there is a good lining of some sort. So I'm wondering if he's going to tap into that. But the thing about all the different endings, I feel like they almost tied up everything in a nice, neat little bow, but left it completely open-ended for every single character at the same time to lead out to whether or not that's going to be a second season of Defenders or whether that's just going to lead up to, like, every other individual's episode or, like, seasons that are coming up. I don't know, but I was
they're definitely leading into seasons.
In
terms of universe building and the need to like keep them all towards their separate episodes or their separate shows, it worked for every single one of them, because you have Luke Cage back in Harlem with Claire to like clean up. We had like there's enough about like Shades and Mariah, like just a little bit in the background of some episodes to be like, oh yeah, they'll be back, so they'll be able to pick up where Luke Cage left off. Jessica Jones, like, she's more or less like physically where she was, but she's willing to take cases now. So we're going to see her jump back in and we'll see what that means for her. For Danny Rand and for Iron Fist season two, you know, Iron Fist is getting a new showrunner, for season two, which I think is it'll be a good change. We'll get something completely different than we got in season one. And he's taking on a role, and this is something that's sort of similar to what happens with Iron Fist in the books, where we're leaving him, because there is this short time where Iron Fist actually takes over as Daredevil. Now, I don't think we're going to see Danny Rand running around in Matt's costume by any means, but he's sort of in spirit taking on that like plot line.
I do, since you said costume, I do want to touch really quickly. I know this is me being the comic book nerd purist, but I was really hoping for some costumes for the rest of the team, that it would come together, or at least like some more costumey looks, like, you know, at least like
you really
Luke in like a yellow tank, just the tank, you know, like we saw him in earlier. Or
you really wanted that Jewel costume, didn't you?
I did, or at least something that we, so when we get the shot of that, because I mean that joke that you get when you get Luke and Jess and they're talking about going in, and then the camera pulls out and you see Matt like finishing putting his gloves on, like it's funny, and I love that we got that, but come on, it's a super team. It's a team up. They're heroes.
But this is their first time.
I know.
It's only been over a progress of a week.
And it, you know, it, yeah.
But it's also like,
you know, I wouldn't want it to be forced too. Yeah. So
it's also like the characters that we built here. Like Jess, like first of all, Jewel is just a weird joke, and they did at least show us that costume in Jessica Jones season one. But like, that's who Jessica Jones is, and Luke Cage, like, he doesn't hide. He doesn't need a costume because he doesn't. Mm-hmm. as far as like Iron Fist goes, I think we might see that come out in season two. We got that little glimpse on like film of the Iron Fist like traditional outfit, but I would love to see his costume.
Yeah, I think at least it'll be like a martial arts tracksuit that's got the colors and a dragon on it for sure. And that's even that is enough.
Yeah, but let's go back to episode 7. Because we don't want to skip over all of the fun that was in that one. What did you guys think about opening with this like sort of flashback stuff that we did with Elektra?
Well, we're at loss for words thinking of what everything happened.
I thought it was good. I mean, it's especially with the way that everything resolved, it was definitely foreshadowing that she is herself and that she's always kind of battled with, you know, because she's so good at killing and she is this machine, like, what is she to be? And so with Stick and the Chaste, she was being that weapon, but for good, you know? And now with Stick gone and the Chaste gone, it kind of makes sense.
It almost is surprising. She was advocating for nonviolence.
But it was her trying to be what she's not. Mm-hmm. Right? And that was the whole thing with her relationship with Matt. It was both of them trying to be what she was trying to not be Elektra, the assassin killer. Yeah. And he was trying not to be the Devil of Hell's Kitchen. Yeah. But you have to be what you are. And so that's, I mean, not to skip ahead, but that's what the ending with them was about too.
Yeah.
But I, you know, I'm happy we got more Stick at least. You know, it was nice to see him.
They listened to you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right?
Yeah.
In that short amount of time.
Yes, they did. They went back and they decided to put him in there real quick.
You're right. Especially as a bookend, though. It is nice to see, between these two episodes, to see her, like, trying to be better and ultimately failing. And that's what leads to her and Matt having this standoff that, like, even though they might care about each other a lot, they are going to just be fight. Like, that's they're just not the same. They're not the same person, and they will always have that difference keeping them apart.
Right.
But let's start with where we actually picked up in episode 7, because we wake up with our three heroes in police custody. I feel like Jessica's the only one that's really used to waking up this a place where she doesn't remember how she got there.
The shot of them where they're all knocked out though was one of my favorite shots. I thought it was just so beautifully done, and it still like brought us back to how they did it with between episodes 4 and 5, where you pick up where you left off. I felt like they did a great job with that too, is that they're so fluidly going between each episode, and then getting that last like remaining shot of everybody was really cool.
Well, it also shows you that, well, it made me worried about them as a team, you know, to be able to face everyone, the Hand, you know, to see them knocked down, because you think of them as superheroes, like nothing can knock them down, they're invincible, but they're really not. And so it really put everything into perspective, like they have a lot at stake, they're trying to save New York.
Right.
So it was beautiful. Yeah.
I did like the way that this like brought in the police though, because that feels very real. Like the police, of course, they would have caught wind of this like big criminal organization and they would be like tracking it. I'm glad we didn't like just try to ignore that and just focus on the defenders, because it makes sense that, like, especially with Misty Knight involved, Misty Knight's a great detective. She's going to know that something's up. Mm-hmm. Like, she may be torn between her vigilante leanings and her want to do the job, but like she is going to know that something's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And so as like, I like that in these scenes, like, did you guys have a favorite character interaction between all of these different people that were like floating around the police station? Whoa. Especially in these across the two episodes, because we got Trish and Karen,
yay!
Foggy and Matt, but like Slick Lawyer Foggy and Matt was touching. We got Misty and Jessica, like all these combinations happening.
Well, I did love Karen and Matt, because she's upset at him for going into this again. But that's when it clicks for him, and he says no, because she says, you know, this is, you have two different lives, or you were just getting your life back together. Karen, this is my life. Bam, mic drop.
Yeah. That was
I
loved such it. A good moment.
And it was so needed.
Yeah, because he realizes this is his life. This is who he's supposed to be. And Karen also realized, well, I guess I can't convince him to do otherwise. Right. And then Foggy getting his costume for him and giving it to him. Yes. So loved great. It.
I mean, that was, I think that was Matt, like, really, that was him making a choice. Like, we spent most of season two of Daredevil with him trying to make a choice between the two sides of himself. Yeah. And it was very much, like, clearly defined by who, which woman he's going to choose. Because it changes what his life is going to be. And it's in the end of Daredevil, we sort of thought that he picked Karen. Like, that he was going to lean that way. But this is him embracing that he loves being Daredevil, that it's a part of him, and basically saying, like, no, I pick Elektra and I pick this life. Because we know he, like, just throughout all of this, he never gave up on Elektra. Yeah. For better or worse.
Yeah, of course.
For better or worse. I'm not saying it was a good idea. I'm just saying he didn't give up.
I think it also just gave him permission to kind of, like, realize what he'd already realized for a really long time.
Yeah. Yeah. But did you get, what about you, did you have a favorite interaction at the station?
I loved, I think you already said it, Trish and Karen. I know that that's not until episode 8, but I loved their interaction. I loved Colleen and Claire was great together and seeing that little duo. And I know that they've already, like, it was just like them talking, I feel like, was such a great partnership.
They fought the hand in China last year.
No, of course, but like just to see them together, I really liked seeing them together.
Yeah. What about you, Nate? Any that stand out in particular, or you just like the whole thing was cool?
I mean, that moment where they're like when he gets the suit and he's like giving him his legal advice, and we realize, like, we watched it together, and I said I'm like, they're gonna bust out the wall, and like and then it's like such a Luke Cage thing to, like, all right, we're trapped in here, what are we gonna do? Well, we could just bust through the wall. I mean, especially with Jessica too, like, right. Either one of them could just walk right out.
So. Yeah, I it was off screen, so in my I'm deciding in my head canon, they both, like, simultaneously just, like, reared back a punch and punched the wall together.
Yeah.
I loved their interaction again, and I know I don't want to jump ahead too much, but I loved Jessica and Luke's interaction.
Sorry,
again.
I keep bumping the mic. I can't see, guys.
I'm surprised you kept it on this long.
I'm gonna lift it up.
There we go.
Oh, the light.
seeing their little, like, one-liners together again was fantastic.
Hey, chat. Hey, everybody. But yeah, I really like, because I brought up the Trish and Karen moment because for me that was that's what they're sort of the characters that make up the heart. Like, we got a lot of that between, like, the four, like, Colleen, Claire, Karen, and Trish. Like, they talked a lot about how these characters are the heart and the foundation of not just these shows, but, like, these characters' lives.
Yeah.
And I love the idea, like, Jess is a good friend. Like, Matt is a good friend. Like, not in the traditional sense. Like, not going to help you move a couch. Although, now that I say that out loud, she could do it very easily.
Very quickly, too.
Yes. But, like, when it counts, when it matters, like, both of them will do anything to protect the people that they care about. And that's, like, there's something to be said for that, and that, like, all these people are truly their friends. And I like this. That's what I love about these shows, is that, like, even though we're getting, like, we're going to blow up a building, go into the bottom of a pit, and there's dragons and things, we also have very human moments between these characters.
Well, and also, too, on that same plane, that's why, like, as annoying as, like, the cop drama part of it is, and, like, the legality and all that stuff, like, that's what makes it these ground-level heroes, because...
Yeah.
I mean, this is about, you would have to deal with that. Like, you can't just walk around and have these things happen around you and not deal with the consequences. So seeing them navigate around law enforcement and stuff, I thought it was cool. I mean, definitely the chief is pretty pretty annoying.
God.
Not with the program, but
Missy, this is gonna make or break your career.
If you think of it from the perspective of, you know, they haven't seen everything we've seen, they don't know everything we know. They just see the dead bodies and the stacks of explosives and lots of things that look bad. So it's just another thing.
Reality.
Yeah, it's just grounds it in it. And this is also what separates it too from, you know, like the Avengers, you know, the upper echelon super duper heroes, you know, like they have to deal with these real world consequences, just like how they have family in the neighborhoods they protect. They're also held accountable for the things that happen.
Mm-hmm. So. Well, I love that Misty was able to step in and say, okay, well, how long do you need me to keep the police away? And then her arm, like, it gets chopped off. And I'm trying to remember, this is in the comics, right? So she...
Yes. Nate and I were going, like, nuts in the background while we're watching when her arm gets cut off. Mm-hmm. Like, here's the only thing.
I didn't show you the picture.
I don't think I've ever been so happy to see somebody, to see a character I like get their arm cut off on a TV show.
Yeah.
But here's... Okay, so
here's my facial expressions. I'm like...
Yeah, yep. So the reason is Misty Knight in the comics is missing an arm, and she loses her arm, and she gets a cybernetic arm put in its place. I think it's even like gold at one point. It's a big part of her character, and it's a really cool thing. And they teased it in Luke Cage because she got like a huge vein cut on her arm. We're like, oh my god, mm-hmm. they're gonna have to amputate that. This is how she loses it, and then it got better, and she was fine. And it's like, oh, so maybe they're not going to go that direction with it. They're just going to, like, tease us with that. And then Bakuto just comes in and chops her arm off.
And it was a clean cut.
Yeah, well, he's got those ridiculously sharp swords.
Of course.
Yeah, I think Nate has a picture
of
it. Yes. Yeah, so, and here's the thing. Like, when she goes to a hospital, to the hospital at the end, one of the things that you hear Claire talk about is... the fact that it's Danny, like Danny's, Danny owns the hospital, and they're doing some cutting edge.
Colleen said.
CNC. I don't think it's that hospital. I think she was just saying that she has connections to a place that.
Yeah. Whatever it is, like she's going to a hospital that has like next level technology. Mm-hmm. Rand Corp, whether they're like going to license it out from Stark Tech, like in the books where that's where she gets her arm from. She's gonna have a cybernetic arm, you guys. She's gonna have a cybernetic arm next time we see her, or soon, and it's gonna be awesome. Another little Easter egg that somebody caught in that scene, if you look at the board, her medical board that's in the background.
I kept staring at that. I could not find anything. Continue.
Well, there is a little hidden thing, because it says that her nurse, or attending, or whatever, is Elle Carter. And Elle Carter is one of the original Linda Carter, not Wonder Woman. Linda Carter is the original Night Nurse, which is basically the role that Claire has taken on.
Uh-huh.
Because there were many characters that took on the role of Night Nurse, mm-hmm. but Claire is our version of that character. Linda Carter is the original. So it's a nice little just like nod towards the comic books.
And Rachel McAdams is Night Nurse in Doctor Strange.
She's another one of the Night Nurses.
Yeah.
So it's a cool...
That all connects. Oh, I love it. I love when they do that for us. Just us. The viewers.
It gives us fun stuff to talk about. I mean, there's a ton of comic book connections in these episodes. We can go over some of them. Why don't we... because the big one... Like, Nate, you and I were talking about this. So I don't know if you want to take this one, but Daredevil in the hint. Because here...
Do we want to talk about anything else before we do that?
Because you're right. That's prediction.
Yeah, that's kind that's of heavy prediction. Because I mean, if we're going to be honest, if we're talking about the whole thing, this was like Daredevil and Friends. It was really like Daredevil season 2.5. Mm-hmm. He really got the most character growth, I think.
Yeah.
He got the most screen time and lines and the most important plot points.
Mm-hmm.
Not that that's a bad thing. He's definitely, I think, the strongest one for them to build on at this point, especially given the subject matter of the team up. But the conclusion of his storyline at the end, I think, is all that we're going to talk about is predictions.
I mean Daredevil is to the Netflix universe as like what Iron Man is to the cinematic universe. He started it, and he's had the most seasons by the time we get a team up. And his story is really what's connecting everything and driving everything, just the way that like Iron Man really drove the Avengers together, and then drove Age of Ultron and even Civil War, which wasn't even his movie, but he got like a 50% stake in it.
Yeah.
I'm being corrected in the chat. I need to like qualify. Her arm is not made of gold. I meant it was colored gold.
It does,
but
it
it's
is
made
colored
of vibranium.
Right.
Which somehow I don't think they're going to do in the series.
I don't think so either. Especially, I mean, maybe if it if they do somehow go with the Stark tech, I really want them to because I like the little call-outs to the movies.
Yeah.
And I think that'd be a perfect one. But, I mean, they already said that Rand Tech is going to do it. And
well,
I doubt Rand is going to be able to get their hands on vibranium, especially with Black Panther just about to come out. And they're going to establish how vibranium is not easy to come
super
by.
Rare. Yeah, that's the thing. It's like you can make it out of whatever, but like making it specifically vibranium, it cuts like, wait, how much vibranium is out in the world?
Right.
Like where they
it's possible, but think, it's just a very finite amount. It would be very expensive. It just doesn't seem like, I mean, you think about it this way, Cap's shield is made out of vibranium. You know, the caliber of a hero that Cap is, Misty's great. She's not there yet, you know, the value.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's there.
Look, she could get a carbon fiber arm, and that's fine.
Yeah. I mean, as long as it does cool tricks and, you know, has things like, pop out of it and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, an arm is fine.
But and a grappling hook.
not all the bells and whistles.
Yeah. You know, full, Inspector Gadget.
Oh,
Inspector Gadget, Misty
I mean
Knight.
That's the thing, she has that kind of like stuff built into her arm, and I think they could go with Stark Tech and Rand. They could be like, we licensed some stuff from Stark Tech to get you your
and I
whatever
think, I really like how they did that scene with Bakuto and how all that stuff played out, because I really could feel a Daughters of the Dragon now. I really feel like Misty could kind of take Colleen under her wing, you know, whereas I feel like Daughters of the Dragon, they're more of like equals in the books. I think the mentor-mentee role kind of works, especially because, just like Dany, they play Colleen like she's so young and immature, especially now that she's killed her former master and is really free. She's probably looking for another master. There's a lot of samurai undertones with Colleen's character, and especially with Bakuto. I mean, even his whole fighting style is very...
Well, the whole, like, joining a clan and that being a big part of your life and, like, leaving the clan is a big deal.
Right.
In like samurai traditions,
correct.
But I think you're. I think that's a good call. Like Misty Knight and Colleen, like they. I wasn't expecting those characters to like get towards that dynamic this way, but
right,
it feels right.
Yeah.
It felt even more right than I would have expected at the beginning.
Well, especially
of this.
I mean, she basically saved her life. You know, they came together and survived this traumatic experience together. And I also think part of the reason why that cop drama stuff was necessary is I think Misty's going to kind of be over it and be like, you know, I'm tired of having my hands tied. She'll do the PI thing to where she can still practice law and do stuff of that nature, but isn't tied behind being, you know, a police officer and things of
that
nature.
After that dick of a chief is like...
Yeah, I would leave if I had a boss like that too.
He's like, she's like, I'm going to get everybody down here. I'm going to call the bomb squad. It's like, you might not even have a job by the time they get here. I'm like, why are you saying that now?
He kept throwing that in her face over and over. I was like, dude, just shut up.
You're in the middle. There's a bomb.
No idea.
Like, he's threatened.
I mean, we would all be threatened by Misty Knight.
No, I know. Yes, but like,
yeah.
He needs to like let her do her thing. Although I think that again, like I thought it was the way that they utilized the NYPD in this felt right. It felt like it fit. Like this is how police should behave. Like they're not. Like these people, like they these people don't tell us what to do. Because, like,
it
from their perspective, these vigilantes showed up and they're like, all
right,
so here's the problem and we're going to go in there. And like, no.
Yeah. I loved when they busted out and they're trying to make their way through New York and they're thinking of the fastest way to get to their destination possible. Metro.
The subway.
Yes.
That shot was great.
So
I was dying.
Yes. But I love that
Rolling.
Jessica has her card. She's like, let's just do this.
I'm not sure. My favorite Jessica moment was when she looks down, she looks at the homeless guy, he's sleeping, she realizes it's beer, she sneaks over, grabs it, waits for him to wake up, he doesn't wake up, she sits down, just pops it open and chills out.
It's been
a
long week.
Yep. Her little isms.
I mean, she didn't steal from a homeless dude, though. She could have, like, thrown him a couple bucks or something.
I don't think she had any.
I was going to say, does she have a couple bucks?
She's been busy. Maybe their wallets are left at the cash.
Well, Luke Cage, they had all their stuff confiscated.
Yeah, so they couldn't get a taxi because of that. So she doesn't have any money.
She technically helped save his life. In a way.
Yeah.
Yes, one less beer.
I guess that's a fair trade.
Well, that too.
Beer for
but like
saving New York,
the destruction of your city.
Yeah, I was thinking more like the immediate, but you know. Yeah.
You've got to think big.
Big.
Yep.
It was a long week.
Ivan in the chat asks, is Jess an alcoholic?
No.
Yes.
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 Yes, she is.
I think
but after you deal with the shit that she puts up with.
But you can't. That's not. Self medicating is not going to help her.
Look, justify.
Don't
look
at me like that.
To me, this is clear setup for the next season because her drinking throughout the miniseries has basically been the only consistent thing about her character. That and her sass. Mm-hmm. So it seems to me like they're building up towards her having a. Like her alcohol issue becoming a serious thing.
Yeah, and it was a big part of her first season too. Like, to be honest, I don't know that they'll address it season two.
I feel like they've just been talking about it so much because, like, before it was like you have a drinking issue, but also this guy's in your head and he's controlling you. Oh my god, you got to deal with all this stuff. okay, hey, look, you kill them, cool. Now you're just drinking, and it's like, hey, I have this other thing that I didn't really deal with, and I'm just kind of getting by because everyone's like, oh, you've been through a lot. Have a few drinks, you know. That's just me.
I think it just seems like the second season.
They're saying a lot.
Right, hold on, one at a time, Candace.
They're setting up to do the second. When are they coming out with the second season of Jessica Jones?
Next year.
It's the Punisher at the end of this year, and then Jessica Jones will be the next series early next year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So. They almost keep treating it like it's cute, though, which is not necessarily a good thing.
I know.
Right.
But that's why I don't like necessarily expect them to address it, because they're sort of like, ha, she's got a drinking problem.
But that's why I think they're trying to make it. I think that's part of the commentary, is that, you know, you normalize it and that it's actually a problem. But we'll see.
It would be fascinating to see what happens when, like, Trish tries to, like, be like, just. Because
I mean, what do you do? You can't like have an intervention with her.
Well,
she's gonna break the wall down.
Yeah, you can't lock her up. You know.
Yeah.
Her other one more moment with Jessica though was when they were trying to escape with the elevator, jumping away from the alcohol.
Rockstar.
But like, are we okay to jump to that portion yet? Or are we waiting to talk about the big fight?
Let's get to the building and the hole in the ground.
Yes.
And what's in the hole? I've been shouting it since Daredevil season 2 and that ridiculous reveal. And it wasn't Fin Fang Foom, but it wasn't far off either. So you get down there and behind. You look at me like I'm crazy. There were dragons down there.
One. Yes.
No, there were a couple.
We only saw one, though.
In the overhead, you could actually see.
Oh, could you? My eyesight's horrible, so I was wondering what it was.
Yeah, I just saw one too.
I thought I saw pieces of others.
I think they said that. Well, I read a review afterwards, and it seems like it was only one. Mm. From what I could tell.
Wrong. I'm willing to admit that I could be wrong on that. Either way, fucking nerd, Danny. God damn it, Danny!
Like stupidest.
Oh,
pizza.
You need the fist to open the door. How do we do it? Oh, I'll just make him punch me and have the wall behind me because he's dumb and he'll do that.
He was that dumb.
Literally.
I will say that was just too much of a setup.
Hold on, Nate.
I'm just going to say that's it. It was just easy.
Yeah. I will say, like, I was very frustrated with Danny. I was, like, kind of, like, leaning more towards, like, his side. Like, again, like, I get it. He needs to grow up, but, like... We all gotta grow up. Like, I spend my days talking about comic books and science fiction.
There is nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
No.
We all gotta grow up sometime. But, dude, you did exactly what they wanted you to. We all knew what was happening. But either way, he busts it down, and then the reveal is that the substance that they keep referring to is actually bone marrow of... Dragons. Mm-hmm. Dragons very similar to Shaolao. And I think that's fascinating that, like, all of the mystical energy, the stuff that's given him The power of the Iron Fist is the same energy that is has allowed the hand to and the fingers of the hand to live all these years. I think it's good. It like ties it all together.
Well, it makes sense too. We've every time we hear about the dragons, they call them the immortal dragons and stuff. So I'm guessing, you know, whatever makes the dragons immortal is in there.
Bones or something. Well, the way that Shao Lao lives, because it's Shao Lao the Undying, and what happens is because obviously Danny killed Shao Lao when he punched his heart, but Shao Lao dies when the Iron Fist is created, and then slowly it begins to like regenerate, and then comes back when the Iron Fist dies, and then must be killed again by the next Iron Fist, and that's like sort of Shao Lao's
cycle.
Yeah. I did pick at the one line where Madame Gao's like, "This is the only place on Earth where these dragons are anymore." Because she talks about how they used to be everywhere. I'm just picking on that one more on the on Earth part, because Fin Fang Foom is not from this Earth. He's from another Earth, and he's a green dragon. She said they were green specifically. So I'm just saying, maybe we were right.
You're holding on really tight to that.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
It's still possible.
Yes.
I'll never let this theory go.
He could still be out there.
Oh, man. I mean, he's out there. It's just a question of like, do they have the rights to? Do they want to actually do a dragon story?
Right.
When they can't even afford to show us Shao Lao in an Iron Fist show. But the fight at the bottom of the hole was epic.
So okay, wait, because we didn't see it start, right? When we cut back to that, they were already fighting. That was my only complaint, because I would have liked to have seen who exactly threw the first punch. You look at me
when?
Confused.
What?
The fight when they're all fighting.
When they come down from the elevator? And Jessica walks out the elevator by herself?
And then...
No, not that one.
Oh, that's the one we're talking about.
Yeah.
That's
which fight which fight are you talking about?
Well, the one before.
You mean between Elektra and Iron Fist?
No.
Which one?
Now I don't know, because you confused me, because they started... Okay, Bakudo and Daredevil are fighting, and they're the only ones with the weapons.
Oh, you mean...
Oh, you're talking about in the upstairs. Parking garage.
Upstairs.
When it's the 3-on-3.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yes. I was like, wait.
Yes, because then we cut to something else, and then we cut back, and they've already started fighting. But I would have liked to have seen who started what exactly, because the start of a fight is important just as...
I feel like we saw the start of the fight. Gao, like... Force throws the cinder blocks at Jessica.
I remember that. But that was later.
And then they start running at each other. Yeah.
Wasn't the start. I wrote it down because I remember. Just
either way, it was a cool. It was. I liked the back and forth between.
Fight. They could cut the beginning. I mean, that wasn't the fight. So maybe that's why. Right.
But either way,
I like how they did that escape though too. That was very hand-like. Them
to just disappear?
Yeah, with him to call for the spark to light the gas that he
that
opened
was sick.
Up to get the big explosion. So,
yeah.
Luke just
grabs it worked. But let's talk about the fight at the bottom of the hole.
Yeah.
Because, was I the only one that, for a brief moment, thought that Iron Fist's hand was playing Wu-Tang music?
Yeah, you were the only one. We all were like, "Yeah, we like the music," and you're like, "Wait,
Chat,
is that
somebody,
coming from his
somebody
fist?
Backed me up because like it was literally like he's they're like, "All right, let's do this," and he powers up the Iron Fist, and then in the same frame that the fist lights up, it's just like, "Boom, Wu-Tang."
Yes, that's the new power that the Iron Fist possesses, is that he plays Wu-Tang out of his fist.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think that should be an addition to his fist, just like it plays Wu-Tang every time he brings it out,
that
and it would increase the show's likability.
Yes.
Times 100.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
It'd be amazing.
This is one of those things that I never knew that I wanted, and like if you told me as a child listening to Wu-Tang and reading comic books that there would be a Defenders Netflix crossover series, and with the final fight when they're all fighting together, kicking hand butt, you get Diary of a Chess Boxer, like, oh my god. Oh, it was so good. It was so good.
He was so happy.
I mean, that well, you have to remember, like, that music comes from, you know, it comes from the kung fu martial arts world. All that stuff that they created for the Wu-Tang Clan and all, you know, the 38 chambers and all that, it's all from the movies that they watched. So it's like, it's perfect to see that synced up with like superhero fighting. All those guys are comic book nerds. It's just awesome. It's just so awesome.
It worked perfectly.
It fit perfectly. Yeah, it did. The tempo was great.
It was fun. It made that fight a lot of fun. Yeah. And we could get into the specifics of the fight, but we don't have enough time. I want to make sure we have time to go through all 18,000 endings that this show did. Because we got like, so the info that we got dropped, the mayor is going to cover this all up. It was unauthorized construction under the city. The DA is basically like, Foggy tells Claire and Luke, like, it never happened. So basically everyone in the government's willing to just like let this go, blame construction, poor construction on why this entire building collapsed.
Mm-hmm. Come on. It's a skyscraper that was how tall? Like, I know you're covering shit up, but people are a little bit smarter than that.
Well,
give them credit.
They are, but I mean, there's a lot of stuff that
I think people are dumb.
Okay. There's a lot of stuff
people
that
will believe what they want to believe. Yeah. And they don't want. Yeah. They want to think that it was something
just that, rather than anything else. Well,
there's a lot of stuff that people like higher up, you know, politics, media, that they can cover up without us even knowing.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's true.
That's not to say that we're dumb, as like audience members, like you know, just us. But yeah, I don't know. I believe that. I don't. We didn't talk about it, but Elektra and Matt at the end.
Yeah,
that was.
Well, I'll count that as one of the endings we have to talk about. Is them
that was
like?
Sweet.
It was sweet. It was a great finish to their story arc. And like again,
and the
like
fight
we were,
was incredible.
Yeah. Oh, so the choreography between those two is always really good, but this was next level. And the dialogue I thought was really well written between them. Like everything that we built in season two, everything we've built in this series, it was a perfect end for them. And like we were all really like, wait, did they kill Daredevil?
Because of season three.
The comic book nerd in me is like, no, of course they didn't. Because, like, one, the production element in my brain is like, they've already announced season three.
Yeah. So you know he's not dead.
But, like, it's really just like, what are they going to do? Are they going to leave us with that cliffhanger? And I'm glad they didn't.
That would have made me mad.
We already talked about Misty, how she ends. Talked about Danny on the rooftop, being like, I'm going to protect this city with my iron fist. We get it, Danny. You have an iron fist. Shut up. But Jessica and Luke, I thought, had a really sweet, perfect ending for those two.
Yes!
They're going to go get coffee.
No, Luke's like, oh, that means some...
I didn't hear a no.
I did not hear a no.
See, I
did not hear any no for that coffee.
You didn't hear a yes either. You didn't hear a yes. You didn't hear a no.
He left that door open. Cause you know they gotta
just
have
the play shit.
They gotta have that baby someday.
Yeah.
I mean, here's the thing:
she's
when
work
they
through her alcoholism first.
When they well, here's the thing: in Alias, when they first start hooking up, like Luke is cheating on his wife with Jessica.
Yeah,
this is true.
So
there is
it would it wouldn't be out of the question for that to happen. But all right, let's. Let's talk about the because we got to make sure that we have time to discuss that the way it ended with Daredevil, like where Matt is left. He's in the convent that he was raised in as a boy.
Mm-hmm. We're assuming.
It looks like the same set. Could be a different one technically, but like it's the same set.
Yeah.
And he calls and he's waking up, the nun that's there says, go get Maggie. And it's just like, boom, Easter egg drop. Here's what season three is going to be, nerds. Nate, do you want to walk us through this? Cause you were, the one I think most, excited by this.
Yeah. I mean, this is the run. It's called Born Again. Is the run that it kind of just like redefined Daredevil. I mean, it's Frank Miller, who's one of my favorite writers, but it's just like what he did with Batman. It it brought a lot more darkness to Daredevil, even though there was a lot already. But it definitely, it brought the tone way darker. Things got a lot more serious. You got, this is where you, the thing that makes it interesting is that within this run is where you got characters like Stick, and you got The Chaste, and you got Elektra, and more story with Elektra. So having a lot of this stuff already established is interesting, because there's definitely certain things that they can still do with the story, but a lot of it has either already happened, or because of characters like Ben, who's dead, have to happen differently.
Yeah, well, I think they're going to use, because Ben Yurick is a big part of that in reporting, and like, but I think Karen is basically filling that role.
Karen is a completely different character, I mean, at this point in the books.
And I think, but I think
in terms of the Born Again run.
Yeah, I think she could fulfill a very similar role to what she did, where she becomes part of the thing that's like, is used against Matt Murdock, but also fills that Ben Yurick reporter part of the story. Yeah. And like, all the ingredients are there for Netflix. Yes. Like, they've been building towards this, because the Kingpin is like Wilson Fisk is very likely to get, Wilson Fisk is a big part of that storyline.
But the thing is, yeah, but the big thing with that storyline is that it's also like, it's the, it deals with like the outing of Matt and who he is, but also it deals with the outing of Kingpin and who he is and ruining his public, you know, image, which has already happened.
Yeah, and like, so there are all these pieces, but I think that now it's like, for season three for Matt, like, I think it's the best time.
Oh, yeah.
It's the perfect time to have to out him as Daredevil publicly. Mm-hmm. And so if you go with this, like, Wilson Fisk getting out of prison, making a fake, like, using his money to create a fake Daredevil to discredit his enemy, where he's like being violent and killing people on the streets, and then Daredevil has to go stop this anti-Daredevil, I think it fits perfectly with what season three could be.
Yeah.
The story involves Wilson Fisk hiring Nuke, the character from the books, as his like one of his like lackeys and like people to go after Daredevil. Nuke has already been established as Will Simpson from Jessica Jones season one. He's just out in the world with these crazy go pills. So the ingredients are all there. So I think Born Again,
I mean, also too, I think it'd be a perfect place to introduce us to like a Bullseye character, which I think is something that's pretty lacking in terms of the Daredevil mythos that they've already created, because he needs something who's not necessarily an equal, but someone that he can fight that is like equally skilled as him, that he can, you know, lose to sometimes.
Maybe. Bullseye is the big one that we haven't gotten to, yeah, but I'm not sure. I'm not sure what that story does unless it's like part, he's just part of like a bigger plot from Wilson Fisk or something. Right.
Yeah. Well, and that's why I would, assuming they do go the discredit Daredevil, fake Daredevil thing, I think he would fit in that role perfectly, if he's the one who finds to jump around the city and do bad things to make him look bad if they go down that route. The other thing that's cool too is, because, I mean, I'm pretty sure it's confirmed Gal is alive. We don't see her dead, so I'm pretty sure she gets away.
Nobody, no
dead. And they also, I'm assuming they got away with some of their dragon juice. There's no
a little
way
they bit didn't get enough. They were harvesting it already.
Yeah. So I'm, you know, she's basically in control of the hand alone now.
Yeah.
So I'm curious to see what's going to happen with that, and if, you know, especially if Elektra's alive, is she still gonna take her claim as control of the hand? Are we still going to see a Shadowland at the conclusion of Daredevil season three, where the
or even
back or something,
Daredevil,
something like that? So there's a lot that can happen. I'm definitely excited. You know, Daredevil has consistently been my favorite of the bunch, just because it's, I don't know, it's just really good, and the fighting is great, and there's just a lot of really great elements to it. So they've set up a lot with this. I'm happy to see.
Yeah. The other big thing is that Maggie is very likely referring to Matt Murdock's mother, who is named Maggie. Mm-hmm. And it seems unlikely that they would like shout out a random other Maggie's name as the closer for the Defenders series.
People in the chat are saying Gao is dead. I know that she was, I mean, she was there in the explosion with all the stuff coming down.
Yeah, but no body.
But
yeah.
I don't know.
Stepped back.
Marvel rules, if there's no body, they could easily come back. Yeah. And we don't see Gao's dead body on screen. I'm willing to believe that Gao is in play at the very least. But I'm really excited to see what they do as they go forward with these characters, what we're going to see from them. We've only got about 2 more minutes here, guys. So any final thoughts on the Defenders?
I'm going to ask this question because I've seen it a few times in the chat. What do you think they built up a father-son relationship between Matt and Danny?
Inspirational, like
I think it's more like a exactly.
She's
like
not
a,
old.
I don't think that they they didn't. I mean, I know they played Danny Young, but essentially he's really not in the Defenders in our show, at least. So I mean, I wouldn't say father son by any means. They seem too close.
No, it's
in
more
age, more like mentor or like older brother or uncle,
or even just
something
like something that he aspires to be.
But but really quick, but like you I want to know what your guys' highlights are from Defenders.
Just that last scene where they're, you know, when Danny powers up with his fists and they really start, you know, comboing each other, like the enemies and stuff, and they were really fighting together. Mm-hmm. For me, with the Wu-Tang, it was just like, this is when they announced that they were doing Daredevil and they were going to do these other 4 series and then they were going to all meet up for Defenders. That moment was what I was waiting for, and I feel satisfied.
So. Yeah. Candace, what about you?
Going off of that, loved the finale and seeing all these characters finally come together and fight as one, as a unified group. But also, I really did enjoy the humanizing aspect that they really brought heavily to the show of, like, stuff that we talked about with, like, the PD, and then also, like, with the Elektra and Matt, like tango at the end, the dance between them. There's a lot of like romanticizing with all of that. So I just loved the different character arcs that we had throughout, outside of just the fighting and the typical, like, I'm going to beat you up and kill everybody off. I feel like there was so much more depth to the 8 episodes, and they really gave us a lot to kind of sporadically add out throughout the entire 8. So, yeah.
For me, I love the moments in between. So in between them fighting, those are the ones that really connected them to each other. Jessica talking to Matt about his dad, and Luke and Danny just bonding together. Those are what made them work together, because it's one thing to just come together and pretend like you're all fighting as a team, but those moments in between really do mean something. And then also just bringing in the supporting characters.
Yeah,
and making that feel so normal and not forced at all.
Yeah, really, I think it was. Worked. I think a lot of the supporting characters, the way that they were written, was really the highlight in a lot of cases. Like the fighting and stuff, that was always cool. But the way that Trish
the dialogue
and everyone
and the
got involved,
was fantastic.
And
yeah.
the banter
and they
from
used,
all the characters
that
was
that's
so
another
great.
Really good point too. Yeah. That they were able to bring in the side characters without making it feel like they were just shoehorning them in.
If I
could just add my little highlight real quick.
Yeah.
That part. The whole, I believe his name's Sawande, interrogation scene. And after they, decapitate him and the defenders kind of turn on each other, I thought that was very interesting to see.
Yeah.
Like, it was a very dark point in their history, I guess, in their, like, short history. It was really nice seeing Daredevil go up against Iron Fist, or Iron Fist is going up against all 3 of them. It was really fun.
Yeah. And we want to know what your guys' favorite moments were. What did you love? What were your all-time favorite moments seeing these 4 characters and like the different pieces throughout the Defenders? Let us know in the comments below on YouTube. Or hit us with a review on iTunes. I know where the show is, like, we're finishing out the show, but those comments and those reviews help other people find this series. So hit the thumbs up, hit us with a 5-star rating. We really want to know what you guys think. We will be seeing those reviews and commenting back. And you can keep the conversation going with us all the time on Twitter and Instagram. You can find me, Zach Wilson, all over the internet at that Zach Wilson, thatzachwilson, and also on a bunch of shows here at AfterBuzz. Stick around. There's so much more to come when Punisher comes out later this year. Amy, put yourself over.
Yeah, you guys can find me on Twitter and Instagram at AmyCassandra_TV and AmyCassandra.com. Here, lots of different shows, but the first one is Wednesday, American Ninja Warrior.
Yes. Thanks so much for joining in, guys. Again, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram. Please keep the conversation going with me. Let me know your thoughts at Candace R. Cruz.
Yeah. Thanks for tuning in, guys. It's been really fun. Unfortunately, it feels like it's gone by so fast. Yeah. So fast. Yeah. You can find me on all social media at DogLikeNate. My name is Nate Miller. Feel free to tweet me. We can talk about comic book stuff, gaming stuff anytime. And I do a couple shows here. You can see me around.
All right, guys, this has been the Defenders After Show on AfterBuzz TV. Thanks for geeking out with us.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.